Hello, I am Carolyn Elliott.
And I'm Layla Bernard.
And you are listening to the Sleepover Podcast.
Yay!
Yay!
Welcome!
Hello, hello. So, what I've been talking about so much lately is this book that's out from Eric Wargo. It's called Precognitive Dreaming and the Long Self.
What a title.
It is.
Eric Wargo also wrote Time Loops, which was a mind-bending book on precognition and the basically non-linearity of time.
Yeah, and he has this great blog called The Nightshirt, where he records his own weird nighttime experiences and reflects upon them. And it was years ago that I first came across that blog and read his thesis that, what popular culture and Jungians consider synchronicities are literally all precognitions, are all time loop experiences where something you dream about something or you have a presentiment about something because that thing is going to pop up later and will feel significant because you dreamed or felt it coming. And it's just this loopy thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had that this really strong download about what is deja vu one time where I was like, oh, deja vu is the feeling of having of being in the long self, the larger self, and you're experiencing in the moment that deja vu is happening to you, something that will later be a memory that you're like, oh. It's like a pre-memory. Deja vu is inverted memory.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, pre-memory. Yeah, he talks about pre-memory and he talks about retrocausation. So basically all synchronicity is retrocausation because it's the dream is caused by the future experience of finding the significant, thing echoed back. So... when I first read about this, it was very difficult for me to accept. I sort of put it aside. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. That's how could retrocausation be a thing? And it's so true that we are very much brought up to be causases are in the past. Causes happen and then effects happen.
And that time only goes one way. That's how all the equations work.
Yeah. And, but after having read Time Loops and, whoa, hello.
Oh,
oh
my God. Oh, wow.
Sorry. We're sitting in a car at the gym and a lady just opened the door of my car. She thought it was her car. I guess that was funny.
Welcome to the studio, ma'am.
Yeah. Anyways, where was I? Having read Time Loops and had enough of my own super trippy, precognition, retrocausation experiences, having been sensitized to the concept by Eric Wargo, I was like, oh no, this is for real. This is so real. This is what's happening. And I talked about that. If you missed the episode, I talked about it over the summer in an episode called, I think The Alchemy of Acting on Your Nighttime Dreams.
Yes.
Where I just, the third immersion that we did for the first round of Sleepover Mystery School was just such a blow-by-blow, rather literal coming true of a dream that I had 5 years in the past. And it just blew me away and, left me with a sense of joyful significance that was, I would say it was analogous to smoking 5-MeO-DMT, if you've ever done that and gone straight into the pulsating heart of God. That time loop was a whole lot like that. And
it gave you the sneaking suspicion that something might be up.
Yeah, something was totally up. And, Wargo has this beautiful metaphor where he talks about that time really is a weaving, it's the warp and the weft, and who we are and what's happening to us is both, there's both strands coming from the past and there's strands coming from the future. And he really eloquently talks about how it is what we precognize in precognitive dreams are our future conscious thoughts about something. So like rather than, and he explains like all psi phenomenon on this precognitive time loop thing very persuasively. So like telepathy, remote viewing, pretty much everything for Wargo falls under this branch of retrocausation. And because basically like when people successfully remote view, then they're, it's like they're precognizing the confirmation of their successful remote viewing.
Well, it seems like, I mean, it seems like the precognition thing is like resting on the sort of like quantum foundation that everything that appears to be happening in time is just a singularity of simultaneous happenings that we are sort of step by step going through and having it very, very slowed down from like the instantaneous infinite into some duration and like non-infinity, right? Like, so the precognition thing, it, like to me, like when I hear this stuff, I'm like, well, it's not exactly that you're like precognizing. It's not that there's like a technology. I mean, anyway, they're like technologies that ride on the underlying truth that everything's happening at once.
Exactly. So, and that's like, Wargo talks about that, how like precognition is not like the best term, but there's, it's sort of
that's
like
how
the
it
most,
seems.
Yeah. It's how
when
it
you're
seems.
In time.
And so he talks about how like, you know, quantum computing is becoming this big thing, and it's already like scientists are finding that like quantum computers can behave in very weird ways that show definite signs of retrocausation. And he's basically saying like our brains are quantum computers that can pick up on the future as well as on the past and, you know, bring some of that non-linearity into the general experience of the forward linear march. And, you know, it's just, it's really fascinating. So the way, how do I say, like, I feel like what Wargo has achieved is the most important contribution to Hermeticism, Western esotericism, the great work since Carl Jung.
And wow, that's high praise, Karen.
I know, it is. It's high praise, and I really think that it's true. I mean, I also think that Dr. Robert has made a huge contribution to, you know, people's integration and well-being. But in terms of, like, a fresh thesis for how things are going down, like, this, to me, is very elegant, very stunning. I mean, there was something, you know, synchronicity is a handy term, but there was always something, you know, pretty unsatisfying about Jung's discussion of it. Like, it's just an acausal connecting principle. Things are happening, you know, around constellations of activated archetypes, which yes, and the retrocausation thing is just like, I don't know, it's just more elegant, and it can still be an activated archetype that is activated in this non-linear, you know, time zone.
Right, the right, exactly. The right, the sort of in-between time of like, yes, there's perception of separate events, but it's not in the like Malkuthian realm where according to the laws of Malkuth, time runs forward and you can't go backwards and there's no way to know what's happening in the future.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an in-between space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, you know, the famous thing of synchronicity that caused Carl Jung to coin the term is he was working with a client, and she was a very rational, skeptical person, but she dreamed that somebody gave her the gift of a beautiful golden scarab jewelry. And as she was sitting in Jung's office and telling him of her dream, a little, you know, jeweled beetle alighted on the windowsill, like the closest thing in Northern Europe to a golden scarab. And Jung was like so delighted and, you know, was talking about how this scarab is, you know, a sign of renewal and becoming, and handed her the scarab, the beetle. And, you know, this was just a pivotal moment in this woman's life.
Where it was a huge gift.
It was a huge gift, and it was a golden gift. And it was from this, you know, person who she respected and valued and was like pretty much in love with. And so Wargo's argument is that the dream of being handed the jewelry golden scarab was a precognition of this, you know, was retro-caused by Jung's delight in you know, finding the scarab, the beetle.
Well, and in her own sort of like, oh my God, whoa, there's something to this. Like the feeling of like, oh my God, my dreams like mean something.
Yeah, it's huge. And I guess why I find the retrocausation hypothesis to be, I guess, a bit more useful or compelling than just the synchronicity, a causal connecting principle, is, you know, it makes you sensitive to paying attention to, like, I could be getting hints all the time about what's coming my way. And I think it just sensitizes you also to, like, the fact, you know, what we in the Western tradition have often called the holy guardian angel or the larger self, or what Jung called the self with a capital S, like really is what Borgo calls the long self, and which David, my husband David, has described to me as the hyperbody, which is this like, you know, we're these extended little snakes moving through time. And we go in all directions. And something that I find really interesting too is that these retrocausations probably aren't just from this current lifetime, but are probably also from, you know, whole other future evolutions, whole other, of course, and we have ancestral memories, and we have, so like, for example, Wargo gives a discussion of, you know, people being visited by what they perceive as aliens or angels or fairies. And like, I've had a very intense visitation experience myself where I was in a sleep paralysis and I saw the Egyptian god Horus was like standing at the foot of my bed and making the sign of silence. And that made me all weird. And I had to start a mystery school. And yep. So, and like, but so anyway, so Wargo is saying like those experiences of visitation are probably your future self visiting your past self and completing a time loop, like visiting you, checking in on you, and making sure that you get weird enough that you evolve into
so they can exist.
Yeah,
totally.
And I'm like, whoa, I'm going to evolve into the Egyptian god Horus. You know, in how many billions of years, but whatever. It's in time is nonlinear. It's an infinite project.
It's already done.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, Carolyn and I were talking about this the other day, and it was kind of making me think about some of the things that I had read in the Biology of Physics book, which is like such a far out cool text, and talking about how like the heart field, the like electromagnetic field of the heart and like the pulsing of the heart seems to have some major significance to the functioning of the body and like the cognition. And like, also I've heard it said like the experience of time, mm-hmm. that like depending on like a creature's resting heart rate, that really determines like their sort of like gearing into the simultaneity of everything. So like if you're a creature with like a very fast heart rate and a very short, from our perspective, lifespan, you are still living a whole lifetime, but your experience of that is just like, it's just at a different rate. Mm. So like your sort of like set point, your connection point into the simultaneous all happening is somehow like regulated by the like pulsing heartbeat electromagnetic field of your body. And it makes sense. I mean, your body is the like vessel that you use to interact with the manifest realm. So like there's something about the field of your body that like, yeah, engages. Like I'm thinking of it as like a transmission, like the transmission in a car where like different, you know, gearings cause you to experience time differently and like meet out the simultaneousness in a different rate depending on how you are pulsing with it. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, you know, I think definitely goes to the more one aligns with their heart and develops their consciousness, like probably the more access you get to this, you know, quantum perspective on life. I mean, I feel like that's definitely been my experience. And something, so yeah, so I feel like this perspective is really valuable for making the great work more accessible. It sort of explains in secular terms, even though far out terms, sure, yes. But in secular terms, like, you know, the great work really is becoming in, you know, being an active dialogue with this larger version of us.
Which is centered at Tifereth, which is the heart solar plexus center. So, like, the sort of signs and, like, communications about that are about, yeah, I don't know, there's something there.
Yeah, there's really something there. And even, like, Wargo talks about, and he explains it so beautifully via a short story by, the author's name is, I think, Chang, who wrote Arrival, the book that the story that Arrival was based on.
Which is, that's called The Story of You, which is about a woman who is writing a story in an alien language after having interacted deeply with these sort of non, like, they're aliens who have a spherical, like, non, their body has radial symmetry. So there's no front or back to these creatures. They are totally ever presently forward in all directions. And their writing and language is, like, reflects that there's no forward and backwards nature to their language. There's no linear syntax to their language. You just say or write. And anyway, it's an amazing story about she's writing at the beginning of this experiment of her family, the end story mm-hmm. of what will happen to her family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I guess apparently that same wonderful author has a number of stories about, like, time loops and nonlinear time stuff. And one of them is called, The Alchemist and something, something. Sorry, totally blanking. But Wargo uses that story as a reference for, like, basically saying that if you are in the hat, like, the best predictor of being able to receive lots of precognitive information, is that you have an honoring and caring relationship to yourself and other people. Because, you know, and it's kind of fascinating because it's like, yeah, if that's your general attitude, then it makes sense that your future self is going to have an honoring and caring attitude towards you and be, like, sending
helpful,
sending information backwards, like, you know, lifting you up, giving you inspiration at low times.
Mm.
Whereas if you have...
Yeah. This is reminding me of what we were talking about in the gym about the heart math thing mm-hmm. and heart coherence. And I was sharing with Caroline, I've been working with this, you know, thing. It's called a heart math monitor. And you put it on your little earlobe and it monitors your variance in your heart rate. And there's coherent states and non-coherent states. And the way that they instruct you to get into coherence is to feel positive emotions and feel through your heart. Like, focus on your heart and feel positively. And I was sharing with Caroline that to me, like, they suggest, like, thinking about people that you love or, like, loving positive things that have happened to you to tap into that. And I was saying that the emotion that most reliably raises my coherence is not, like, love per se, because there's so many different meanings of that word, but gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I was saying that gratitude is a form of love that is focused on having, mm-hmm. like, appreciation of the having. And it, that seems related to this, like, sort of future having of things. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have what you're going to have in your heart already, I mean, and, like, other people talk about this too, like Abraham Hicks talks about this, like mm-hmm. the, like, law of attraction kind of stuff is also pointing to this mm-hmm. thing of, like, if you really know and have appreciation for the fact that you have the thing that, you know, in the current moment you may or may not actually have, then
but your long self has
your
it.
Long self has it, right? It's like gratitude coming from the long self of, like, yes, the confirmation, it is done, it is had, it has been. Anyway, gratitude.
Yeah, which is so, absolutely. So, yeah.
And I guess the reason that I'm bringing it up is because it's, like, connected with this, like, heart mm-hmm. thing of, like, when you know that you have the thing, your heart becomes more peaceful, more regulated, more healthy, more positive. And, like, somehow it seems to me from the random things that I put together, like, your heart is some sort of, yeah, gearing mechanism that, like, puts you in contact with the things that you are to have.
And you absolutely become more intuitive. Like, the HeartMath Institute knows that. Like, yeah. They talk about that, how, like, the heart coherence, you know, brings you more intuition. Like, you're better navigating the quantum field.
Possibilities. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, so the possibilities, what's so fascinating about that is, so, okay, so, you know, there's like popular notions about like, oh, maybe there's, you know, infinite worlds, infinite timelines, infinite, you know, every single choice we make splits off a whole different timeline, and that fun movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
God's the best movie ever.
Great dramatization of that idea. Oh, God, a sneeze. But,
whew. Bless
you. Yeah, what this... what the whole retrocausation opens up, and what Wargo argues, and what I personally find persuasive, is like, actually, no, like, it already happened. Everything already happened. There's not infinite possibilities. There's like the stuff that's gonna happen.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting, because I do think that like there is a magic in like I don't know. I mean, there's something to be said that like, if you are living in an attitude of like, everything sucks and this is terrible, things tend to suck and be terrible. And like, are the things going to happen? I don't, like, that's the question.
Well, so that's where he sort of leaves a question mark of like, maybe it is our attitude in the present moment that is the only, you know, since the retrocausation comes from like, is your future conscious thoughts reflected back to you? Like, if you take responsibility and you're like, I'm going to make sure that my conscious attitude is as great as it can be, then that does seem to create a positive feedback loop, and, you know, vice versa otherwise. But it is very hard to say. It's like, well, maybe that person is just destined to have that shitty attitude. What I find, I mean, some people find this, you know, idea of like, well, everything's just going to be the way that it is, to be upsetting, or like, you know, makes them just want to like lay down and give up. I guess I just find it incredibly relaxing. It's like, it's so soothing to me. It like takes this heavy burden off of my shoulders. And of course, you know, you still have the feeling of free will. Like, you still have to like make choices and do stuff. But I just find it really lovely to be like, you know what? It's just all going to happen the way it's going to happen. And it makes me less guilty. I guess I'm sort of like I'm naturally inclined to guilt sort of person, to free-floating, pointless guilt.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there is like a definite sort of like difference in the resonant feeling of like a decision that just like kind of naturally arises from like, oh, I'm doing that now. Like, oh, it's just happening. Like, I have the energy to do it. I'm getting up. I'm doing it. I'm writing the thing. I'm saying the words. I'm taking the steps, versus like a like scheming, plotting, like, what should I do kind of like mental decision. Like, there is a difference. Like, I think we can all like feel the difference between a like rationally thought out kind of like scheme versus a like sort of unfolding, like happening of like, oh, I guess I just am doing that now.
Yeah. And it's also fascinating. So, because I was talking about this whole, you know, precognitive dreaming, retrocausation, and fate sort of thing in Electric Yes, the membership that we run. And somebody was asking me, you know, like, well, how do you reconcile this with magic? Like, isn't magic, you know, what we do to change our fate? And absolutely, yes. And it could totally be that you're just destined to do the magic you want to do. Like,
you know, right.
I don't know. I guess like, I've just spent enough time in meditation that like, I do not believe that like, I control my thoughts. Like, they definitely just seem to be like stuff that bubbles up from the vast soup.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, where do I get the specific idea to like do, you know, it's just from the vast web of interconnectedness. Like, I do Golden Dawn magic. Okay. I just happened to be born to a father who was into Golden Dawn magic. Would I have ever done Golden Dawn magic if that hadn't? Probably no. Like, you know, just this like vast web of like things. So
totally.
But what was I thinking about? Oh yeah. So,
well, and it's kind of like the, you
and
know,
plus magic puts you in touch with that dialoguing, looping effect. I mean, I think that's a strong argument to definitely do magic, to whatever extent you do have the free will choice to do it, or the seeming illusion of it, because most people are not very conscious of their retro-caused fabulous things. But if you clearly have an intention and you clearly do ritualized actions to invoke that intention, when it happens, you will feel a really trippy looping effect, and it will like put you in touch with the way that things are much less linear than they appear.
Indeed. Yes.
Objects in mirror are less linear than they appear.
Indeed. Yes. True. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say something about, you know, the thalamic adage of like, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Love is the law. Love under will. And how like, you know, I feel like everyone has had, many people have had the experience of like really wanting to do something and like scheming really fucking hard to try to make something happen. And it's like your long self is just like, no, 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 I will conspire to make sure that that absolutely doesn't work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until you sort of like find the groove of like your long self's need that like things start working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I mean, you know, there's something to be said for like being persistent in like the things that one really wants. But it's like that heartfelt longing, wanting that is more effective in like actually, is more likely to turn into actual happening than like, you know, socially conditioned or like, you know, whatever you were like brought up to think that you should want, kind of like wanting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's one interpretation of that, like do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Love is the law. Love under will. Where it's actually endorsing, you know, amor fati, the loved right. one's fate. Like do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Do what your long self wants. That's the whole of the law. That's what's gonna happen.
Right.
You might as well love it, baby, because it's right. happening.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
And yeah, I don't know. Like when I really sink into that, I find it just really lovely. And, you know, it lets me have more gratitude for the larger picture of my life and like less like nitpicking, like, yeah, I don't like this thing. I don't like that thing. Like, well, it's all part of the things that I do like. They all go hand in hand. Speaking of the things that we do like, we have our first inaugural call with the new round of students for Sleepover Mystery School 2023 today, 37 brave, beautiful souls
yes.
about to embark on the weirdest shit ever.
Yes.
I'm so proud of them already.
I know. They've already begun the initiation, but
I mean, it's all already happened.
It's already happened, so we'll be talking about what has already happened later. I'm not able to reveal it now. That would be violating the rules.
Mm-hmm. I keep saying to Layla, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast already, but like the fact that we're doing Sleepover Mystery School again after having just done it last year, like it really feels to me like taking like first you take a staggering amount of psychedelics and like you have this like incredible thing that like blows you wide open and repositions you in the cosmos. And then you're like, you know, usually one would be like, okay, I'm going to like meditate on that for a long time. I'm going to like really take that in. But instead you're just like, all right, here we go. Another mega dose of psychedelics.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, and I have meditated and I have like tried to take in and integrate as much as possible what happened yeah. last year. But I feel like it's like, I don't know, we're just really living that psychedelic life, Layla.
There's something. Oh yeah, we definitely committed to being an agent of psychedelia in the world for sure. Absolutely, that's amazing. I mean, there's also something very time loopy about it, where it's like this has already happened. We have already done this because we literally have already done it in the past. But like, there, like it's wonderful to like also engage in like the ever-present happening of initiation and awakening and like contact with the Holy Guardian Angel. It's like always possible, always happening, always looping back. There's always like more opportunities for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So to close, I just want to highly recommend that everybody read this book, Precognitive Dreaming and the Long Self by Eric Wargo. I think it will, you know, I think the more people get into this, the faster we will reach that integral consciousness tipping point that we're all really horny about. Like, and, you know, because we can, let's just all, you know, do the great work and realize that time is an illusion. That's the fun thing to do.
Yeah, and we're just like out here letting it happen.
Yeah.
We don't need to.
And what I also love about this book is, so Time Loops is a brilliant book. And this new book covers some of the same material as Time Loops, but like it's a lot more conversational and I feel like an easier read. And he also gives a lot of tips and insights for interpreting precognitive dreams, because basically he's saying that, you know, so like one of the current scientific theories about dreams is that they are, you know, your brain processing short-term memory and adding them to long-term memory, which explains why dreams use metaphors and puns and everything that Freud noticed so much, is because that's how the art of memory works. That's how, you know, if you're trying to memorize something, if you like make up some funny puns and some dramatic scenes of it, that's what the art of memory people did in the Renaissance. You will remember it much better. You can remember whole giant speeches that way, just like making, anyways. So like that's what dreams are doing, is like storing memories. And Morgo is like, and they're also storing, they're registering the pre-memories likewise in these symbolic puns, metaphors. So like I think he does a really good job of like teaching you how to sensitize yourself to
the poetic language of memory.
So like for example, like last night I had a dream that I like dived into an ocean and Joe Rogan saved me. And, you know, so obviously I like Joe Rogan. And also, like, what was that about? Probably a precognition of listening to an interview on Joe Rogan where there's, like, some deep information revealed that, like, plunges my consciousness into, like, a whoa, what's going on? And then Joe, with his earthy jock wisdom, lifts me back up to the surface and I feel like it's all going to be okay. Like, I think that's probably what that symbolizes. And I listen to that podcast fairly often. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Morgo talks about that, about how, like, what is most often precognized is not all that dramatic. It can be, like, very dramatized in the dream. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, that's just how the art of memory works. And that it's... or the art of pre-memory, and that usually what's being represented in precognitions is, since it is all like it's reflections of your future conscious thoughts, is often experiences of learning. Mm. So like, you know, watching a movie, listening to a podcast, learning something that is relevant to your understanding of the world is like one of the things that will be most frequently precognized.
Mm.
That thing's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a dream a few weeks, days, whatevers before Carolyn told me about this book, where I had like, I was in a yellow room and I was looking through a portal and I like casually said to myself or someone else in the dream, like, oh yeah, this is the dimension where everything is spirals. And I like saw these like cool little like beetle characters with like, you know, kind of like digital looking spirals, like coming on their back. And like that dream was like weird and cool. And I liked it and it was enjoyable. And I was like, yeah, spirals, whatever. And then like a couple days later, Carolyn and I were sitting in her yellow living room and she's telling me about this precognitive dreaming book about time loops. And I was like, oh, this is the dimension where everything is spirals. Got it. Cool.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting.
Yeah, so everybody read this book, you know, keep up your dream journals, interpret your dreams as weird retrocausations, have lots of fun with it, and, you
know. Send love to your long self.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So that it will send you love back.
Yeah.
Transactional.
You know, you can give it offerings, you can burn incense, dedicate it to your long self. Yeah. And, you know, definitely like subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, leave us a little comment that helps us with the algorithm. And you are the best and coolest sort of people because you listen to this podcast. So just reminding you of that.
That's a fact.
Have an awesome day. Bye-bye.